He's back.
Yes.
It's a season premiere. We always look forward to our season premieres.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Klatt back with us for another year. And he's back and he joins us now. Good morning, Joel.
What's up? How are you, man?
We're doing great, Joel. We had this great introduction because, you know, I've been really prepping. I've really been studying for the season. And Mike is like, you're really studying just so you and Joel, you know, can talk about, you know, about football and X's and O's and all that. And I was like, no, because no matter how versed I become, I'll never say it kind of like the Matthew McConaughey way that, like, when you say, like, hey, Z-Drive. You know? I mean, it just comes out so much cooler when Joel says.
The last couple of months, you should hear the big fella to my left here. He's like, you know, yeah, you're talking about this. You know, it's a robber here, and they're, you know, looking to do a dig, and then they go into the Texas.
Oh, good stuff.
They go into the Texas route and all this stuff, and I'm like, look at you. You are just prepping to be able to go mano a mano with Klatt, aren't you?
No, that, see, I just know that no matter... Like, it doesn't matter how good I am, I'll never be able to go mano a mano with Klatt. I mean, no matter what I say, it's never, ever going to make the ladies in Fort Collins swoon.
Well, I don't know about Fort Collins, but maybe Boulder.
Both. That's the thing.
All right, so much ground to cover with you. First of all, let's just start. Well, what is your view from afar of what's been going on with the Broncos, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock?
Yeah.
What's your take on all that?
I'm really worried about their offense, to be honest with you. I just, you know, I've gotten to see virtually every moment of their preseason, and the offense is abysmal. And I'm talking about just from an ingenuity, schematic standpoint. I mean, they give Vanilla a bad name. I don't know, man. I'm worried about that. I'm unfortunately in a boat right now where I feel like they're wasting the prime years of one of the best, if not the best, defensive player in football. And one of the reasons, so for instance, like if Denver could play offense at all, I think that Von Miller would get talked about in the same vein as Aaron Donald. And I don't think he is, because Denver's offense is so bad. And so, one, Von doesn't get a chance to rush the quarterback with the lead quite like he used to. And two, they're just not a factor in the league. They're not really even a factor in their division going into this season. I watch all the Chargers games out here in preseason and the Rams in preseason, and I'm watching what the Chiefs are doing. When you talk about the Chiefs and the Chargers, they are right now, I would say, hands down, better than the Denver Broncos. And I'm a Broncos fan, right? Like, I desperately want them to be good. I'm trying to see the silver lining with this, quote-unquote, in-his-prime Joe Flacco offense, and I don't see it. I think that the offensive line is really bad. I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat it, guys. Bad might be good. You know, that might be a good description for them. I'm not in on... I know, but Stink, this is going to make you really happy. I'm really not in on Garrett Bowles.
Oh, really?
let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so we'll see. I feel like this is a team that's going to struggle to be 8-8.
At this point, it just feels like anytime I mention the Garrett Bowles, it just is like feels like it's piling on at this point. First time play caller. You know, I was talking to Mike that the most offenses, regardless of what you call it, you know, we're running the same concepts and the same, you know, everybody runs some zone, everybody runs some power, everybody runs some gap scheme, everybody runs, you know, drag slant, everybody runs, you know, a curl with an arrow route underneath it, whatever.
See what he's doing here? See what he's trying to do?
Everybody runs. The same stuff. I think the ingenuity part comes with play calling, how you set up a play, how you set up your play action. How much concern do you have with a first-time play caller who's never called a play in the National Football League in Rich Scangarello?
I have a massive amount of concern, to put it lightly. I think everybody, and what you're describing is concepts. Mm-hmm. Everybody understands concepts. Everybody. You know, that's a dime a dozen. Everybody out there can draw concepts that can be effective. The great offensive minds understand a couple of different things. how to develop matchups within those concepts via formation and personnel groups. And then the other side of that is to take it further, how to, and you were just kind of explaining, how to set those formations, personnel groups, and situations up so that during the course of the game, those concepts have the best chance to be successful. Because here's how you build offense. You build offense with one, personnel first. So who do we want on the field? Who are our 11 guys on the field? What is it? 12, 11, 21, 10, you know, all those different personnel groups. And those numbers coincide with how many tight ends and how many running backs are on the field. In the old West Coast, they had names. You know, they were like Zebra Group, Pro Group, Tiger Group, Vandal Group, U Group, all these different things. So you start with personnel. Then you get into what I would call is the formation or movement of what you're trying to do. And this is how you create the matchup, is putting those 11 guys in a formation or in a spot where they have a best chance to be successful. And so you can move and shift and get into spots on the field via your formation, and you can do countless things of that. And then what you do is you marry a concept to those formations. So, for instance, if you're going to run an all-go special, which is just a four vertical routes, special means that you're going to run it out of a 3-by-1 formation. Okay, so you can get into any personnel group, and you can get into any 3-by-1 formation, and then run all-go special. Here's the thing. The least thing I'm concerned about is the all-go special part. The game plan and the play calling is what's actually going to make that specific concept successful by putting the right personnel group on the field and the right formation with the right movement in order to make the concept sing. That's what I've been most concerned with in the preseason, is that every movement and formation seems to be so generic that it doesn't matter if the concept is good or not, because the defense has a very good chance to match up well and stop that concept before it starts.
Joel Klatt back with us, as he will each and every week throughout the season, presented by Audi Flatirons.
So I think one of the other things in that, and all that stuff is awesome and it's great, but you talk about formations. All of a sudden you get into kind of a slot formation with both your X and your Z on the same side. If you do it that way, now all of a sudden I've got the difference between, hey, do we get man or zone? If you're bringing your corners over, you're in a man concept. And
that's right.
You know, you end up showing, you end up tipping your hand, and the great coordinators let their players know, and especially their quarterback know, is this man or zone? That's why the motions and all those things. Explain that stuff, Joel.
Well, so a lot of the movement can be out there, and what that is doing is it's designed to unlock the defense, okay? Because the defense is trying to do its best to disguise what their intent is, and whether it's a pressure or whether it's a style of coverage, whether they're running an open or closed defense, open meaning that the middle of the field is open, i.e. a two safety look, versus the middle of the field is closed, i.e. a one safety look, because every coverage can come out of those two structures. The middle of the field is open or the middle of the field is closed. And as a quarterback, that element has a huge basis to what you want to do. If the middle of the field is open, you have the run ratios on offense. If the middle of the field is closed, they have the run ratios on defense. So you want to adjust accordingly in your check game. But the formation and the movement is designed to unlock what then the coverage is on top of that middle of the field open or middle of the field close. Is it zone? Is it man? Is it brackets? Can we unlock some sort of pressure? Are they going to rotate and run a zone pressure? Is it a man pressure? And you do that via a little return motion with the tight end. You can do that by putting your tailback as the outside wide receiver and then motioning him in. Is it a Mike linebacker that goes out to defend him? Is it the corner still on the outside? All of those things are indicators for what the defense is trying to do or what the defense's intent is doing. In the late 90s, one of the first teams to ever put the tailback on the outside of the formation as the true wide receiver was the Mike Shanahan-led Denver Broncos. You guys used to do that with Terrell Davis. Put him all the way on the outside, normally to what I would call the boundary or the short side of the field. What that did is it was unlock the coverage. what started to happen is that then they would rotate and motion him back to the tailback spot and then hand him the football. And so that creates mass confusion on the defense, because if the linebacker starts out all the way on the outside and it's man coverage and he's going to follow Terrell Davis all the way inside to where he's a tailback now you've added a guy to the box, and what happens is they can get confused on their run fits, because every run defense or every defensive front has to understand which player is responsible for which gap. Okay, they've got to be gap sound. All of that movement allows you to establish some sort of advantage within that gap sound control or gap control defense. A lot of technical information to basically say everything in football is derived on personnel group, formation, movement, matchup, all of those things. That's what allows you to be successful. And then you talk about the timing of when you call those personnel groups, when you call those formations, and when you call those concepts. You've got to set them up during the game. It's an art. The best play callers in football, whether it's college or the NFL, they're artists with how they develop the matchup, set the defense up, get players in specific spots on the field, like the support player, to have a run responsibility in his face because he's responsible for the D-gap, and yet you're slipping the fullback or the tight end or the H-back or the slot receiver right by his outside shoulder because you've got run action in his face, and then you can dump it over his head in an RPO or a play-action situation. That's the nuance of play calling that can be missed by someone that's doing it for the first time.
So, Joel, I know you desperately miss the feedback from our 8 a.m. texters.
8 a.m. texters are the worst.
Here's one.
I want the 6 a.m. You got to bring up some sort of 6 a.m. texture at some point.
Yeah, but the 8 a.m.
We'll start with the 8 a.m. guys.
Maybe next week we'll bring in a 6 a.m. texture.
You know, I know you have a special relationship with the 8 a.m. texters, like this one. Another CU bum. Klatt is an idiot. The Broncos offense is not that bad. Our offense has barely played maybe one quarter of football. Way too early to tell. But hey, Klatt, you're the expert.
You're right. Thank you. I am the expert, and you're not. And it's not your offense. All you've done is sit in the third deck and eat a hot dog and maybe drink a couple of beers. Our offense. You don't even know what's going on the field, much less how you're going to lose that weight from that third beer that you drink.
Another one. Hey, Jolene, hope you have fun watching your Buffs get a face full of Rams this Friday.
I don't even know how to address that. I get it, right? Like every... You know, there was that big stink about Fredo. When you're the dumb, you know, younger brother, you're just always jealous, which I understand. I mean, and like I've said many times before, we all have a lot of things in common in the state of Colorado. If you went to Colorado or you went to Colorado State, and I root for Colorado State every time that they don't play Colorado. I really do. I want the Rams to do well because there's one constant between the two schools, which is everyone that goes to both of the schools got into Colorado State.
His ability to just get right back into Richard Nine-Mone.
Yes. Was that not genuine? I felt like that was genuine.
That was fully genuine. Your impression of Drew Locke coming out of Missouri and what you've seen of him so far?
I think it's understandable to see the point that he's at, because there's a steep learning curve to go from the offense that he was under at Missouri and then move to a very structured NFL offense. There's a very steep learning curve, and I think you saw that early. I know he's been a little banged up, guys, and I haven't seen an update on exactly what his status is as far as his injury. How is he doing?
He's going to be out for at least a few more weeks.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, this is going to, you're going to chalk this season up to, you probably won't see Drew on the field. Maybe you'll see him in the month of, last 3 weeks. Do you guys, I want you to honestly tell me, are the Denver Broncos a playoff team?
No, I think the best they are is 8-8.
Yeah, I've had them at 8-8. They just lack depth. They lack, depth all over the place. Offensively, they lack depth at every position. That's just as bluntly as you can put it. And they haven't developed that over the last couple of years. The last couple of drafts have been better, but they just lack overall depth, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I've seen literally you know, when Emmanuel Sanders, 7 months after after not only ankle surgery, but also having a ruptured Achilles and having that surgery, is by far the most dynamic player on your roster, and it's not close, like, that's a cause for concern. That's a red flag for me.
I tend to agree with you. So I ask that because I think that's the vein in which we might see Drew Lock, which might not be the best position for him to succeed, but we may see him late in the season get a chance to roll out there and prove what he can do as the potential quarterback of the future.
I think Joe Flacco's got 9 games. I think it's a 9-game tryout, and that's what that takes you past the Cleveland game. It takes you into their bye week, and at that point, if there is just a sense that you know 3-6. You know, I think they got to be at least 4-5 through their first 9. Otherwise, what are you waiting for? You know, make the switch.
Well, and the hard part for me is how many times do we see, and I can't, at the top of my head, I just can't see this. And I don't want to be doom and gloom because, guys, I'm a Bronco fan, right? Like, I want the Broncos to be a quality team. And for the majority, if not the entirety of my life, this team has been about competing for the Super Bowl. Think about the success that this organization has enjoyed through its history. This is an elite franchise in this league, an elite franchise in this league. And so to see where they're at, I mean, this is not a team that we should ever be talking about like, well, hope they can get to 8-8. That is not what the Denver Broncos do. And that's a frustration for all of us, that would say that we are Bronco fans. And I'm certainly one of those. Having said that, how many times in the history of this league have we seen a quarterback lose his job, not move in free agency, but lose his job and move on to the next spot and have a lot of success? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Hey, very quickly, what'd you think of Urban Meyer coming out and saying Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, best college quarterback ever?
I didn't see that he said ever. If he was saying right now he's the best quarterback in our sport, I would agree with that. Trevor is an outstanding talent. You guys know how I felt about Andrew Luck coming out, and I'm sure, you know, that retirement news is a topic at some point, but I think he's the best prospect since Luck, who was the best prospect since Peyton Manning, who was the best prospect since John Elway. I think he's in that vein. He's an outstanding player. Just to give you some sense, as a true freshman, and I understand he had a great team around him, but as a true freshman, he rolled into the college football playoff and threw for 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, and had a rating through the roof. I mean, that's some sensational stuff. This dude, he can do it now, and it's a couple of years away, though. I mean, we've got these antiquated rules, and he's going to be sitting here playing for Dabo Swinney for at least 2 more seasons.
Hey, real quick, if Jalen Hurts wins the Heisman, does Lincoln Riley go straight to the Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame?
Yes, yes, the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
And then all he does is he gets a big necklace that he wears on the outside of his shirt, and it just has 3 big Heisman trophies on it, and it says underneath, and it says in a row, and he just pops his chain the entire time.
Joel, we're glad to have you back. It's going to be a fun season. Should be a blast. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Listen, Rams fans, enjoy your night on Friday. I'm excited for that game. Buffs fans, go get them. Be polite. Be nice. Remember, they wanted to be you their entire lives. They're not. So give them the benefit of the doubt. And just remember, you know, I was 3-0. So whatever.
See you, Joel. Deal. Later. He's just out. He's just gone.
The snark. That's a full summer's worth of snark just built up.
Just wonderful. Beautiful.
Come on. And CSU fan, I know it drives you crazy, but you got to almost kind of appreciate that swagger, don't you, a little bit?
Oh, my gosh. Huh? Right?
Come on.
Right?
Just at the end. Hey, 3-0. Boom.
Right.
Throwing touchdowns while lightning bolts are going on in the background at Mile High. I mean, come on.
I love that. You're right. I am the expert. And you don't know anything. It's just a level of confidence.
Yeah,
everybody wishes they could just walk with that confidence.
Exactly.
It's like the way Dalton Reisner walks.
That's right. Cooler. All right, Joel Klatt each and every week with us, presented by Audi Flatirons.